This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Lonnie Johnson. In Focus comes your way every Saturday and Sunday on both KTBB 97.5 and KRWR 92.1. And if you have any thoughts on the program, you can always go to KTBB.com/InFocus. That's KTBB.com/InFocus. My guest today is Jamie Sanders, and she's the executive director with Hope Haven of East Texas. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you, Lonnie. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Let's just start off with what is Hope Haven, for those who don't know?
That's a great question. Hope Haven of East Texas is a Christian faith-based ministry here in Tyler and Smith County that serves children, especially teens, in the foster care system. We have really a mission of reaching out to the teens and kiddos that are falling in the gap in foster care, the ones that have either been in the system for a long time and bounced around from place to place, have been in and out of the system, but just have not been able to find a safe place to call home. We do that in a lot of ways. We have a residence in Lindale that cares for teenage girls between the ages of 13 and 17, and it's a treatment home for kiddos who are struggling with mental or emotional disorders that have come out of the trauma.
Being in the system?
Yeah, being in the system, being removed from maybe an unsafe or neglectful home situation. You know, every kid that comes into foster care has experienced some sort of loss, grief, or trauma. So we're trying to help them work through that so they can move on toward healing in their lives and live as healthy adults, ultimately.
So let's give your URL out. So if anyone is in need of any of your services, mm-hmm. they can go directly to that. Let's get that out of the way first.
Absolutely. It's www.hhofet.org.
Very good. Say it just without spelling it.
It stands for Hope Haven of East Texas.
Got you. Okay.
HHOFET.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And so, okay, so we'll just get into it here. The foster care program is a well-intended program by many people, correct? That doesn't always go exactly the way it should.
That's correct.
Would that be a good way to express that?
Yeah, I think it would be. I think we all know that there's a need for kids in our communities to be cared for and to be safe. And I think there's a lot of folks that want to help. I think just sometimes, like any other big system, there are struggles. So we want to step into that and do the work of caring for these kids and do it well.
It's easy to love your own kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're a decent person, there are a lot of bad people that don't love their children, but it's fairly easy to love your kid. And I'm going to ask a question just right off the bat that's kind of weird, but it's just my own curiosity.
Okay.
A stepchild versus a foster child. Are there similarities there?
There could be. I think it's similarity in the process of taking someone who maybe is not born to your family or related to you by blood and making them family. I personally, in my family, my husband and I have two children that were born to us and two children that we fostered and ultimately adopted. And I can honestly tell you, even though they came to us in different ways, they are our kids. We are one family. And I think that a lot of people who've gone through the blending of a family with stepchildren have kind of seen that happen too. There's a process of learning each other and getting to know each other and then learning to love and become attached, you know, but it absolutely happens and they become family.
That's great. So I want to ask you now, I know one of the first things that you mentioned was that you're faith-based.
Yes.
So how does the use of faith in this particular exercise benefit the young people?
Well, and thank you so much for asking that. And I just want to start by saying the reason that we do everything we do is we love people who may not feel loved because God has loved us, you know, and we defend people who don't have anybody to stand up for them because God has defended us, right? And we want to set kids in families because God, through Jesus, has set us in His. We feel very strongly about that. And in fact, it's one of the core pieces of our mission is that every child that comes to us, first of all, is safe, because so many of them have not been safe in their homes and in their lives. And we really believe that true healing comes once they're safe and once they learn to trust, right? Mm-hmm. The next piece of that mission that we have is that we show them Christ's love. We want every child that comes through our doors, whether they're in one of our group residences, whether they're an adult that's in our transitional living program, whether they're with a foster family, to know that for however long they're with us, they are loved, that they have value, that there is a God who cares about them. And so...
Can I ask how hard, these children, yeah. which is what they are. Right. Yeah. These children have experienced a lot of emotional trauma by yes. the time they get to you.
Absolutely.
So how are your efforts received from them? Because I would think that in some cases mm-hmm. they'd be pretty bitter and it would be hard to believe that a higher power would really care right. about them, given the situation they were in.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. With every child, it's a journey. Some are more receptive than others, even just to trusting each of our caregivers as a person. But the sad truth is these kids have been hurt by the people that they should be able to trust. And a lot of times, and I hate to say this, but a lot of times it's people who claim to be believers in Christ and know Christ. So the perception that they have of what a trustworthy individual or a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ is distorted. And it's sometimes very hard for them to even consider the possibility of a different understanding. And we don't require them to believe a certain way. We never want to ask a child to practice a certain religion.
Hope.
That's right. But that's the thing. We want to plant seeds that there is hope. And we know that living hope comes through Jesus Christ. But what we want to do is just show them that there is a difference, that what happened to them and what they've experienced is just that. It's something that has happened. It's something that they've experienced, but it is not what defines them.
I'm sure it can feel at the time like it will and does.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about emotional trauma, I think, is when you're going through it, that it feels like that is exactly where you're always going to be.
Absolutely.
Like there's no end in sight.
Right.
And what's fantastic about all the nonprofits I'm exposed mm-hmm. to here, especially Hope Haven, and especially I've worked with the East Texas Crisis Center for
yes.
Almost 20 years now mm-hmm. Through the car shows and stuff that we would do.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And Atlanta became a good friend.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of partial to, I was raised by a single mom, so kind of partial mm-hmm. to women's needs,
yeah.
for lack of a better word.
Okay.
So what specific differences do young girls in those traumatic situations face than young men? Are they similar?
That's a good question. I think they're similar, but different in the way that the kids deal with the trauma that they faced. Yeah.
So the boys are going to be, I almost said, the boys are going to be angry. Maybe more. I don't know. I really don't know. That's why I don't do what you guys do. I'd be horrible at it, but
yeah,
I would assume.
And I don't want to necessarily stereotype because we see it come out in a whole lot of different ways. We have some of the girls that come to us who pretend like everything's okay, don't want to face, you know, the pain of what has happened to them. We have some that come to us just flat out angry, like you said. In fact, one of my favorite stories is a young woman who came to us from a very abusive situation where she was taken advantage of greatly by the people who were supposed to be caring for her. And she was understandably angry with the world, angry with the people that hurt her, angry with people who didn't help her, and angry with God for letting it happen to her.
Understandable.
Yes, absolutely. She came to Hope Haven of East Texas the age of a senior in high school, but because of some of the things that she'd experienced and some pretty significant neglect and abuse in her life, she was several years behind in school.
Several is more than five?
About three.
Okay.
She had about three high school credits, and it was her senior year. She came to us, and one of the beauties of this community, you mentioned lots of great nonprofits here. We really have a very caring, serving community. But there were people who connected with her, volunteers in the school, through one of the churches that partner with us, and they just poured into her. She was able, during the course of the 1 year that she was with us, to graduate from high school, enroll and start in college. She worked through some of the most intense anger that I've ever seen a child struggle with, and became someone who took that strength that was in her and used it to stand up for and protect other people who were being harmed. She came to know the Lord. It was beautiful to hear her talk about how she had so much anger towards God because of what happened. But as she walked through relationships with people who knew God and who cared about her, she learned that through everything that happened to her, she wasn't alone, that he saw her, that he cared for her, and that he could use what happened to her to make her into a stronger person.
It's beautiful. So no one under 30 listens to this show,
okay,
or the station, for that matter, most of the time. But I do want to take a second. So if somebody is listening to the show and that they have someone in their life that might benefit from Hope Haven, what would you say to those young kids to let them know that there is a safe place for them somewhere?
Yeah, I just want to say to kids who find themselves in vulnerable and hard situations that you are not alone, that there is hope, that when everything seems dark, there's light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, the light shines brighter the darker it is. If they will allow themselves to believe in the possibility that someone can truly care about them and that someone can help them, then there's a chance to walk forward through the journey, that what has happened to them in the past does not have to define their future.
What makes adults prey on children? What makes adults not prey with children, but prey on children? What makes adults be able to just punish a child for nothing, to teach them a lesson, just to be mean?
Right.
What is that, just unresolved problems?
And that's a good question.
You keep saying that.
I'm just trying to be encouraging to you.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You are welcome. No, I think there are a number of reasons. Part of it is there's just evil and brokenness and hurt in this world, and a lot of people act out of that. But what we see a lot of times, especially in dealing with kiddos who are in the foster care system, is that it isn't just something that started with them. It's a generational thing. It's a pattern that has happened over and over and over again. There's a story of a brother and sister that I know and love very deeply, whose mom, and it's a family right here in Tyler. This is something that doesn't just happen off, somewhere else to other people's kids.
Sure.
This is our community and these are our kids. But the story that their mom told me was that she came out of a home with an abusive mom, men who were in and out of the home and abusive to her. There was alcohol and substance abuse involved. And she and her siblings came into the system, and this is a generation ago, when she was 8 years old. She spent the rest of her childhood and teenage years bouncing around from home to home to home. And when she turned 18, she aged out of the system and was set out on the sidewalk with all of her possessions in a garbage bag and was instantly homeless. And you just see that because this happens statistically when you have children.
You can have someone in care in a nonprofit.
When they turn, I don't know that it was a nonprofit.
What changes in their mind at 18?
The state. Right. That's right. And she said to me, she looked at me and said, I was there at that point in my life and I had no one to help me. I didn't know where to go. And then what you saw was that cycle repeat itself in the next generation. One of the things that we are really trying to do is step into a child or a teen's life before they reach that point of adulthood and break those generational cycles. If we can provide, you know, just that one strong relationship, that point of connection for them, that solid home base before they reach adulthood, then they can step into that next generation. And the prayer is that the cycle won't repeat itself again.
So, how do I say this? In the perfect scenario, you only have one childhood home. And by home, I don't mean an address. I mean a family unit that grows and loves and fulfills you and all that. If you're, whether you're at Hope Haven, whether you're in foster care, is it, are you ever able to, I would consider that the top of the mountain.
Right.
You know what I mean? That love, comfort. I used to say that the thing I was most proud of raising my son is he was bored, you know, like it's a boring life. Going to come home to the same place, all that stuff. Are the children able to recreate that with the foster families or at Hope Haven?
And that's a primary goal. I think it's a primary goal of most people who work in the foster care system, but it certainly is with us, is to provide stability. You know, that sense of, I know where I'm going to be today. I know those important relationships in my life. I know they're going to continue on. The ultimate goal, even if we're a step toward that and then we can help them reunite with a relative or find a safe and caring foster or adoptive family, the goal is that they would be able to step out of the inconsistency and the upheaval and all of the change and disruption in their life and find stability and normalcy and rest.
Kind really of really all they need.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's really all they need.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest biggest thing you can ever give a child is boredom and the ability to rest and feel comfortable in their settings. And it's more rare than we know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always take, I probably wasn't the most amazing father on the block, you know, but I certainly loved him and tried and all that. And I think as a parent, that's really what you do. If you teach the child love, kind of everything else kind of falls, you know, you'll have your normal life cycles, but they feel loved.
Yes.
And to feel unloved is a horrible thing to go through life feeling unloved.
Right. And no child deserves that. Every child deserves a safe and loving home and hope.
How supportive are the churches in the area?
You know what? That is something we love, again, about our community. We have a beautiful network of church partners that really have committed to walk alongside us. Some of them support us financially. Some of them come and volunteer to help with our kids. Some of them serve as foster families and provide safe homes for our kids. They pray for us. They advocate for us. We could not do the work that we do without the churches in this community. And it's not just one church or one denomination. It is the family of faith. anyone who maybe is listening to this show who's part of a church that says, hey, we believe in caring for children who are in crisis, and we want to make that part of the mission that our church does and make an impact on our community, reach out to us. We would love to come share with your church, your pastors, a small group about the work that we do and how they can play a part in it, because we can't do this alone.
What's a good foster family look like? Describe it to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Is there one that you can describe? Or
I have known many amazing foster families. The funny thing is they all look different.
That's what I was going to correct. There is no
there. There's not one definition, but the thing that they all share, I would say, is this ability to welcome a child into their home and love them deeply for as long as they're with them, that they are able to look at a child who comes to them who maybe doesn't fit a mold, isn't perfect in their behaviors, is maybe dealing with a lot of emotional trauma and stress because of what they've gone through.
Well, and in some cases, they're taking in broken children. I mean, that's yes, temporarily broken children. I just want to clarify.
That's right. That. At least children with broken hopes.
Correct.
You know, and just the ability to say, I'm going to take you at the place where you are, and I'm going to care for you, and I'm not going to give up on you. They've seen people in their lives give up on them and not care over and over and over again. A beautiful foster family to me, no matter if, you know, they're the family with the perfectly clean house and the stay-at-home mom that homeschools, or the family that is full of chaos and there's, you know, laundry on the couch and everything seems a little crazy. If they are able to welcome a child into their home, love them where they are, and not walk away, show up again and again and again consistently, that's what makes the difference ultimately.
If you had children of your own and you fostered a child, mm-hmm. How typically do you see the children react? Does it depend on the family? Because I know a lot of teenagers just are disenfranchised anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, great. You're going to bring in, you know, uh-huh. Betty Sue or whatever. But there are a lot that I think that would just benefit from not only would the adopted mm-hmm. child or the foster child benefit, but yeah. the actual children of the family that may be able to support a foster child yeah. benefit from seeing how, you know, hey, I have it pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I will say this, you make a good point. When a family fosters a child or welcomes anyone into their home, it's not just the parents. It's the entire
sure.
family.
Maybe the dog that has the biggest I mean,
right,
I'm not being
right.
even funny at that. I'm just saying just something to love unconditionally mm-hmm. or something that will love them
yeah.
unconditionally.
Yeah. And, you know, what I've experienced in my own life is you welcome a child into your home and that child changes you. And if we believe, which I do, that every child has great value, then when that child comes into your home, they bring that value with them. They don't just bring the trouble and the need. They bring that value. And your life will be changed. It will be impacted.
I can hear the emotion in your voice.
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry, I'm not trying to upset you, but I just
yeah.
I told you I was a touchy-feely
mm-hmm.
guy.
Yeah.
That came up. Emotions.
Emotions.
I don't think there's a, you know, whether it's the Mentoring Alliance mm-hmm. in town, not to, this is all about Hope Haven, but the Mentoring Alliance, very similar mm-hmm. Kind of thing. And I wish there were more good places for children right now mm-hmm. and volunteers that would step up and maybe foster a child or be a mentor
yeah.
to some young man or some young woman and just teach them that there's a different way to go about it. There's
yeah.
a different way to skin the onion.
Yeah. And that's the thing I would encourage anybody who's listening. This is not someone else's job, right? These are our kids. This is our community. And they belong to all of us. And it takes people to care for other people. And the Mentoring Alliance, I'm glad you mentioned them. I think they're a fantastic organization that does great work. There's a lot of overlap in our mission and what we try to do. Any of those strong groups that you see that are doing that work and that are caring for kids, don't assume that somebody else has it covered. If you feel a tug on your heart, if you have a thought in your mind that maybe I can do something, maybe I want to find out more, don't ignore it. Follow it. Because every child that's out there needs one person to connect and care and to be there for them in their lives. And that can change the whole trajectory.
And it matters soon in their lives. Like, yes. In my opinion, I mean, every baby that's born is perfect. And without, certainly emotionally perfect, without some chemistry issue in their body, they're not emotionally harmed when we get them. So anything that I see a child have, like a teenager have or a young adult have, issues, problems, usually not done by just the child.
Right.
That child had some influence at some point that gave them that anxiety,
right,
or gave them, you know, a reason to want to leave, be away, be isolated.
Right.
And that's not emotions that you develop normally.
Right. You know, everyone has a story and everyone's story shapes them. And so when we deal with people, probably even most often the people who have the greatest struggles, if we can look at them through a lens of grace and understand that there are pieces of that story that have impacted their behaviors, their emotions, their perception of the world, and the choices that they've made, then maybe that can help open our hearts to be able to care more deeply.
And just to know that you can prevent a generational problem.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Just being able to stop the pain, stop the torment. Mm-hmm. In some cases, I think these children in these situations are so internally tormented that you have to really drill down to get that and make them feel safe.
Yeah. Well, and you can never promise a child you're never going to experience hurt and you're never going to experience difficulties and struggles. But what you can promise them is you don't have to experience it alone.
That's a great way to put that. Would you mind giving the URL out one more time?
Not at all. It's www.hhofet.org.
I encourage all of you to go out and try and make WWJD. You know, they wore it out, but honestly, seems like not a better time to go out and be kind.
That's right. And I can't imagine a better way of celebrating what Christ has done for us than reaching out and sharing that love with someone else.
You're never going to forget being loved. And that is a warmth that everyone needs at some point from someone in their life, whether it's a family member or someone from a peer group.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for coming in and sitting with me this week. And I hope that Hope Haven continues to thrive. You've got a place in Lyndale, correct?
Yes.
Is that the only location of it?
No, it's not. That was our original group residence. We have a home in Tyler that is a supervised independent living home for young women who've turned 18 and aged out of the system and are transitioning into adulthood. It's a place for them to just develop life skills and learn how to stand on their own two feet as an adult, but still have support while they're making that transition. And we offer emergency care in Gladewater, short-term temporary care for kids who are without a safe place and need a short-term place to go while they decide what's next. And then we have our child placing agency that helps kiddos find places in foster families.
Very good. Jamie Sanders, Executive Director of Hope Haven, thank you so much.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.